is Just Right Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and thanks for joining us today. This was the first week, officially, the Democrats were in charge in Lansing, and I don't think you had to be a political nerd to be really interested in what that looks like, what it seems to mean, and how the dynamics have maybe changed in the state capitol. Joining us now to talk about that first week and what we saw is Rick Pluta. He is a senior state capitol correspondent for the Michigan Public Radio Network. Let's start here, Rick. What from your perspective, were the highlights of this first week of Democrats being in charge?
Well, the highlights are really the normal stuff. There was the swearing in and the speeches that, sort of mixed cooperation, but with a little bit of, here are how things are going to change. I mean, let's not forget that, we have an African-American man leading the House of Representatives in Michigan for the first time in its history, and a female Senate majority leader leading the Senate for the first time in Michigan's history. So, that alone is notable. But, we are set up for undoing a lot of things that Republicans have, managed over the past four decades with full or partial control of the legislature. And, Democrats made clear on day one that will certainly include the state statutory abortion ban, even though that's null and void under the new abortion rights constitutional amendment to the state constitution, that right to work is clearly on the table. There will be pushback from Republicans and business groups on that, expanding the earned income tax credit for low-income families, which strangely has wide bipartisan support, but because of the nature of legislative negotiations and the need for horse trading, has never made it past the finish line. And so they've set some goals and expectations, but Republicans also made clear that for a lot of things that you want to get done, and let's not forget, there's a budget to be passed and some things that will require super majorities, and Democrats have thin majorities, two votes in the House and two votes in the Senate. So, that there's going to have to be some reaching across the aisle to get things done.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk more about the dynamic between the two parties in a second, but I want to go back to this initial list of bills that Democrats introduced and will almost certainly have the votes to pass. It's an interesting mix of things, and there's been a lot of debate about what should be on that initial list. Right to work and abortion are kind of hot button issues that made it, but there were some really practical things that they said they wanted to do out of the gate as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Well, are you looking at anything in particular?
Well, I mean, I'm thinking of the stuff that's not the sort of political hot potatoes. And of course, I'm now scrambling to call up the story that I was reading that gave me the actual list. It just seems like there was so much argument for the last few months about what should be first, and I thought they did a good job of kind of rounding it out.
Well, I mean, the EIT would certainly be one.
Right.
There's also the pension tax that come into play. As a matter of fact, that's kind of an interesting one, because that is one that Republicans will hang on their argument that if you're going to do something vis-a-vis the earned income tax credit, if you're going to do something regarding repealing the pension tax, which is a fraction of the state's population, well, let's go bigger. Let's look at things like the state's income tax rate, that sort of thing. That's where Republicans are going to, try and create these inflection points to, try and show middle-class voters where there are differences between Republicans and Democrats. Very, you know, like you said, practical thing,
yeah,
but that can, you know, also serve as, you know, ways to highlight differences between the parties. And Republicans, you know, I mean, even Gretchen Whitmer said, the governor said that, you know, this is not a mandate election, that, you know, that, that there's going to be bipartisan problem solving required. And, you know, this is where Republicans are saying, like, not just, you know, calling for reaching across the aisle to get things done, but they're throwing down one, negotiating points, but two, as can be expected with tight majorities, making the case out of the gate why in the next election, maybe voters will want to make some different choices on who's going to be leading one or both chambers of the legislature.
Sure. I'm talking with Rick Pluta. He's a senior state capitol correspondent for the Michigan Public Radio Network. We're talking about the first official week of session in Lansing in the House of Representatives and the Senate. The Democrats in charge of both of those chambers for the first time in almost 40 years. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call. Tell us if you have been paying attention to this week and whether you were surprised by the things that happened or whether it has kind of played out the way you expected. 313-577-1019 is the number on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can include you on the show that way. So, Rick, I do want to talk about the dynamic between the two parties, and I want to start with the vote for Speaker of the House. There was a little bit of controversy about some Republicans who refused to vote for Joe Tate, the Democrat, the African-American Democrat from Detroit, who's going to be Speaker. Talk about how significant that is, or whether it's significant, and what some of the immediate consequences of that tension were.
Well, let's just say that Representatives Matic, Kara, Frisky, Regas, DeSena, Hoadley, Shriver, and Joseph, and those are the representatives who voted against Joe Tate for Speaker of the House, and violated a tradition that at least on the first day of the session, that there is an expression of a desire for bipartisanship on the first vote for who's going to lead the House once the majority of the majority caucus has made that decision. And that includes things like a seconding speech after the nomination has been entered by the minority leader of the party, you know, which happened. And so, I mean, these members basically threw down a gauntlet and said, we're not cooperating. We're not cooperating. We're not playing nice on day one. And, you know, we're seeing that the ramifications of that for those lawmakers in terms of committee assignments. You know, we saw a smackdown over who gets to file the first bill of the session, that Joe Tate showed up to do that, which is his prerogative as Speaker, and he was blocked by a Republican lawmaker who literally slept overnight to be, you know, to be first in line. And it just, you know, it mars that a sense of, you know, we can cooperate on some things, and that the minority will respect the prerogatives of the majority, and the majority will, you know, when it can, you know, try to cooperate with the minority. But you've followed this for a while, Stephen. So, you know, it's the primary job of the minority, as Winston Churchill said, is to block the wishes of the majority, which is, you know, a political statement and a, you know, a political reality.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess just to, you know, after being rather loquacious about it, to circle back, that you know, it's maybe a trapping of democracy that on the first day you try to show a sense of unanimity, but they get to vote the way that they want to vote, and there will be, you know, some consequences if they show that they're not, you know, willing to, you know, work across the aisle.
Yeah, yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. Let's go to John in East Point. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call, Stephen, and thanks, as always, for the great conversation.
Sure.
I really wanted to have us focus the conversation for a little while on the proposal to repeal the right-to-work laws in Michigan. If that happens, we'll be the first state in the country to do such an action, and it's a really powerful governmental action on behalf of either of these political parties for workers.
A great question, John. And as you point out, it has been a really long time. I saw a statistic this week that said we would be the first state in 60 years to repeal right to work. Rick, this was one of the issues that I heard and was part of more discussions and arguments about than almost any other item that might have been on the agenda. And the question was whether you do this out of the
or not on the agenda
or not, right?
As, yeah, we can explain the joke.
That's right, as the former governor might have said. There's a provocation, to putting it on the initial list, and in the end they did put it on, but they did it with other things. Talk about the significance, though, of including it here on this initial list.
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, one of the key constituencies of the Democratic Party in Michigan and across the country is unions, and Democrats are expected to advocate for union rights. And, you know, going back, 40, 50 years, that, Democrats who were opposed to union rights and creating more powerful unions eventually left the party. I mean, that's the importance of unions within the Democratic coalition, that UAW is a key player in determining who the nominees are going to be. And this is the Michigan Democratic Party, remember Michigan, cradle of the union movement, putting a stake in the ground and saying that it starts here, that we are going to work to reestablish the primacy of unions in the, in the workplace.
Yeah. Yeah. John on the East Side has a question about film incentives. He says it was worked on in committee. He wonders if it's looking favorable. Might we go back to some kind of film credit here in Michigan?
I seriously doubt that we will go back to film credits, at least, the way that they were under the Granholm administration, where they were what was called refundable tax credits. You do the stuff that's expected of you. To a certain point, not only will you get a tax break, but the state will actually write you
a check. Yeah.
We might see a milder, form of that, just like we would see for, maybe some other business activity.
Yeah. Okay. Rick Pluta, senior state capital correspondent for the Michigan Public Radio Network. Always great to have you with us. Thanks for joining.
Always great to be with you.
Okay, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to go back to talking a little about education. Pamela Pugh, who was elected president of the Michigan State Board of Education Tuesday, is going to join to talk about her agenda as work gets started for her in Lansing. Stay with us for more Detroit Today.